with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. So happy to be able to sleep late today after doing McGraw's show Monday through Thursday this week. My body actually did wake up early and said, come on, we got to go. And then my brain said, no, you don't. Now do like you usually do it as an old man. Go pee and get back in bed, for goodness sake. Which is exactly what I did. Ian and Dan are here with me.
Does McGraw's makeup person, do they the same makeup for you?
I have to do my own makeup. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Yeah, when he's not here, they're not going to pay her to come in and do it. But fortunately, I still have my makeup compact from the days when I used to be on Channel 4 in the evening.
I'm getting really weird stuff from Ian's microphone. Are you?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I am too. Oh. It's like you're only in one channel or something.
Yeah, all these dials were...
You know, you were screwing up all the people who were listening
who
to us
in
AM
around?
Stereo. remember that? About 20 years ago, there was a push on to make AM radio stations. To make AM radio stations stereo. Back in the days when AM stations still played music, I guess they thought, well, this will give us a way to compete with the FM stations. And so stations spent hundreds of thousands of dollars putting equipment in at the transmitter and in the studio and all that sort of stuff, and nobody bought AM stereo.
Nope.
So receivers.
I can't imagine why.
It's just like a lot of people didn't buy HD radio.
Oh, either. That's another boondoggle.
Yeah.
Oh.
HD.
You know, for FM stations, well, we're not just going to have our regular radio station. We'll also have two sub-channels, which will also have music on them. And then no one listens to them. No one cares. No one finds them. I had a friend of mine who's in the radio business a few years ago talking about how the industry was changing. This is even before you could listen to any radio station in the world on your smartphone or your tablet computer. He said, try to go into a store now and buy a radio. I mean, even Circuit City, which went out of business, they didn't. You could not. Hi. I'm looking to. Do you have any radios? Well, yeah, we have radios that are also built into alarm clocks. No. I just want a radio. No, we have a radio that's built into a car.
Yeah.
Yes, that's it. But yeah, AM stereo, HD radio, all the rest just didn't work. So, welcome to Friday afternoon. I'm as happy to be here as you are. I have a few things I want to rant about here right at the top of the show. And we don't do really serious subjects on this show, as you know, if you have ever listened. But I do want to mention one thing about this story in Israel, where they're firing missiles at the Gaza Strip.
Yes.
And Palestinians are firing rockets at them. I don't know the story. I don't want to discuss the story. I just want to point this one thing out. I had the TV news on this morning, and a reporter was showing video of the missiles launching from Israel, and the headline was, Israel is on the brink of war. And I thought, you know what? Once you fire missiles, you're not on the brink anymore.
Yes.
You are at war. Just a semantic thing.
I have to ask a question.
Yes.
What is it with the Gaza Strip? There's always...
Oh, don't even get us started there. Please don't get us into that.
Okay.
You're talking about a part of the world where one team is walking down the street with guns and tanks.
Yeah.
And the other team sees rocks in the street and picks it up and throws it at the guns and tanks and wins.
Yeah. And it's always at the Gaza Strip.
You want us to break down thousands of years of...
It's not just the Gaza Strip. It's Iraq, it's Afghanistan, it's Pakistan, it's Syria, it's Libya, it's that whole... It's the heat! You know how cranky we get on days like today when it gets over 90 or 95 degrees?
You know what,
it's a million degrees there every day. Here's our forecast for today. Unbearably hot. That's every day in the Middle East.
Sand in your crotch.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yes. I'm going to kill someone.
Yes, your thighs turn into emery boards against each other. That's you're not going to feel good after that. All right, here's something else I want to rant about here. We're not running the commercial on this radio station, so I feel safe I can do this, even though they have advertised in the past and may advertise again in the future. But I got a little problem with the current commercial being run by the Missouri Lottery. They are doing this special deal called the Big Mo Combo. And in the commercial for the Big Mo Combo, they have a guy pull up to the drive-thru of what, at the beginning of the commercial, you think is a fast food restaurant. And he wants to order the combo. And the person at the other end says, you want the combo? You must want the Big Mo Combo. Oh, what's that? I mean, it's great copywriting. Oh, what? Tell me about the Big Mo Combo, please. And now the voice on the other side, in, you know, talking through the speaker, explains that you can get two tickets for this Missouri Lottery game and two tickets for that one and four for this. And you end up getting $12 worth of lottery tickets for $10. And the guy in the car says, well, I really pulled up here to get some food, but I guess I'll get lottery tickets. And I thought, that's the exact problem with the lottery. People are going, well, you know what? I was going to get food for my family.
As long as I'm here, I guess.
But instead of food, it's...
Oh, instead of...
Yes, I'm going to use my discretionary income now. Instead of purchasing food for me and my family, I'm going to spend that $12 on lottery tickets.
But can you get fries with it?
No, you can't.
Oh.
Because you're going to lose your money playing the lottery.
If you win, you have food for life.
Right. Well, that's what they tell you.
Yeah. That,
yes. What are the chances of my having food for life? 175 million to one. Yeah. You know what's a really good chance of you having food for now? Buy the burgers that you pulled up to buy at the drive-thru.
I made something up. You what's can't that? Win if you can't play. If you don't play.
No, wait a minute. Hold on a second. You messed that up. Say it again.
You can't win.
All right. I got that.
If you don't play.
You know what? I got one for you. You can't eat if you don't buy food.
Maybe I like yours better.
I was going to buy burgers, but I guess I'll buy lottery tickets. So,
Eddie, I'm hungry.
Right.
Sorry. Keep scratching.
That's exactly it. Right before the show, Ian was telling me about this story that kind of was in the news this week out of Manassas, Virginia, about a boy who's accused of sexting a video of his genitalia to his girlfriend. And I said, I am not going to Google that. And I have my iPad open on the desktop here, and I had it open to the Google page. And as soon as I said, I'm not going to Google that, the Google thing started going like in the voice recognition mode.
Oh, man.
And I said, now I can't even say the phrase. So I've turned that off. And here's what the story is. And this is so odd. Apparently, this 15-year-old girl sent a picture of herself to him. And I'm going to guess that they were pictures of herself not wearing some items of clothing. I don't know how extensively naked she was, but make up your own mind. So she sends that to him. And in response, he sends her a video of himself, which shows his genitalia.
Hmm.
The girl's mother apparently finds out about this and goes to the police, and the boy got arrested, the 17-year-old boy. And because she's 15 years old and had pictures of him, of herself on his phone, now he's charged with having child pornography, and also because of the pictures that he sent her, distributing child pornography. I didn't know that applied to 17-year-olds, but okay, fine. I have no problem with that. But the problem I have with this is the girl didn't get in trouble. Not only did the boy get in trouble, but the police who brought him in then took pictures of his genitalia.
No, they were going to.
No.
They did take pictures of his genitalia,
yeah. But they wanted to have a picture of him erect he was in the video. And so they were going to take him to a hospital and medically induce an erection so they could get pictures of that. And now the police say, after some backlash,
maybe
we shouldn't be medically inducing erections in 17-year-old boys so that we can take pictures of them.
No, because if the wind blows the right way, that happens anyway.
Just wait it out.
If you just let the kids sleep, and then wake up at 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning, you're going to have that state no matter what you do. Try not to. Try not to have that in a 17-year-old boy.
And it happens when you're 55.
But
sometimes.
But now now they actually went to a judge and got a warrant, but now the police say they're going to allow the warrant to expire and they're not going to take these pictures. What is wrong with people? Incidentally, if this boy is convicted of manufacturing and distributing child pornography, that's a felony. He would be listed as a sex offender for the rest of his life.
And I don't understand that, because she sent it to him.
Yeah.
Which then gave it, put it in his phone, so.
I think they're after him for the video he sent of himself. Now, I have to stop here and say, we're not endorsing people doing that. No. We're just acknowledging that it does go on, and you got to wonder, is that a mistake that you want to have follow this kid forever? You know, you get out one of those maps to check in your neighborhood. Oh, let's see on that sex offender thing if anybody lives in our neighborhood. This kid's going to come up on that list forever, for the rest of his life, if he's convicted of this felony.
Yeah, I don't know why she wouldn't be convicted of the same thing.
Right. I guess it depends on what parts of her body she was showing. I don't know, and I don't want to see the pictures.
Right.
I'm not saying that, but how come what's good for the goose and, you know, just doesn't make much sense to me. Okay. Did you guys talk this week about the woman in Ferguson who doesn't want to live in her house anymore because more than a dozen years ago, a serial killer lived there and killed people?
Yes, a little bit.
Would it bother you to live in a house knowing that years ago, not last week, not yesterday, years ago, long before you moved in there, something horrible went down there?
Yeah, I think it would.
Yeah,
I think it would bother
this,
me.
Yeah, especially this story. That's a...
Yeah, it would bother me.
How long would it be? I mean, what would be, because this
infinity
guy, really? All right. So by your rules, then this house just has to be destroyed.
Yes.
Nobody can ever live there again.
Well, anybody else can live there if it doesn't bother them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are people out there.
Me.
Yeah,
me. I'm the
there
one.
You go. Yeah. I'm sure you can get a good deal.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking if there are more people like you than there are of me, if I next time my wife and I are going to move and we're going to get a new house, I'm going to say to the realtor, listen, do you have a house where something horrible happened that you can't sell? I'll give you 10 cents on the dollar and we'll move this thing today.
Yeah, somebody dying naturally in a home, I think that's one thing that... wouldn't bother me, but
yeah
something horrible like this.
17 people killed in the basement.
Yeah.
What is it that you think is going to happen if you live there?
No, I don't think anything's going to happen, but it's just
eerie. It's an eerie
feeling.
Get over the eerie feeling thing. You have an eerie feeling in the middle of the night when you hear the house creak.
It wouldn't, you couldn't help but think about it every time you went into the...
I could help. I got enough screwed up stuff in my mind that I can easily... The stuff that's already going on in my head... I mean, there's a line of psychiatrists it would take to fix what's already in my head. It could easily push out what happened in the house more than 12 years ago.
And in my head, you're right. But I just, for me, I just wouldn't be able to do it.
Do you think in Missouri, there's no law that says that you have to disclose that something horrible has happened in your house? You gotta, you gotta disclose if the plumbing doesn't work, or if there's a leaky roof, or if an appliance doesn't work. You have to disclose that sort of stuff, but you do not have to disclose, oh, by the way, back in the late 1990s, a guy lived here who did some pretty horrible stuff down in the basement.
But if they ask, see, I don't know if they ask, though, if you have to tell them.
Would you ask? You live in a house. When you bought your house, did you say that? Dan, you bought a house. I've never asked that.
I think because my wife is a realtor now, and I think some people go, and when they see houses, they ask if anybody has died in the home.
I did ask some of the neighbors before.
You asked, has anything weird happened in that house?
Yeah, anything weird happened in that house that you know of? Two houses up, someone committed suicide and took a shotgun and put it in their mouth.
Okay, do you want to live in that house?
No.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't.
There's a house in our neighborhood where a kid's, I think the father killed the mother or the mother killed the father, I can't remember, when my daughter was in grade school. It's about three blocks away from our house. And obviously that family moved on. They're out of the area now. And I remember that that house had a for sale sign up in front of it for like a month, but it eventually sold. And I wonder, you know, even though you don't have to disclose that, does word get around about that? Does some, because
I think Tim Weiland wants to chime in.
All right, let's bring him in. Hello, Tim.
Hi, Paul. Well, first of all, I'm just going to say I would be kind of freaked out after what happened. I've seen the thing on TV, the documentary about what happened. That would kind of freak me out knowing that that.
Yeah, I should point out the way that this woman found out that this had happened in her home was a friend called her and said, I'm watching A&E right now, and they've got a cold case documentary about this serial killer, and they're showing the house, and I think it's the house you're renting.
Yeah. But now there is a website you can go to. It's called diedinhouse.com.
Of course there is.
There, it's, you know, I've got satellite radio, and when I, a lot of times I listen to CNN or one of the news channels, and when they go into the commercial, the TV commercials are off, so they insert satellite commercials, and there is a website, diedinhouse.com, because the first thing goes, who died in your house? And then they say, you can find out by going to diedinhouse.com.
You just put it
in. So there you go.
Man. I think you have to.
That was a good announcer there, Tim.
I think you have to have an account. It looks like it's a pay service.
Of course it is.
Well, sure it is. But at least there's a website.
Wow.
It's a website for everything.
Would it matter to you, Tim?
If someone just died in the house, but that was pretty much a torture chamber.
Well, wait a second. We're not talking about died. We're, you know, like, oh, the old lady, she was 97. She finally kicked. Oh, that was in that bedroom. Okay.
I don't know, Paul. I don't, you know, I kind of don't believe that ghosts are hanging around and stuff like that, but it would be pretty chilling knowing, you know, especially if I saw, after seeing that documentary, knowing what went on in that basement.
So you paint.
And like they even said, there's a pole, you know, the support beam downstairs, and they said that's the one that he chained these women up to and tortured them and stuff.
Well, you know what?
Difficult.
But here's how you can avoid having those thoughts. You don't tie anybody up to that pole.
Well,
you just go downstairs. Yeah. You know, it seems, from what I've heard, it looked like an unfinished basement. Okay, finish it. Put a drop ceiling in there, paint everything, put some new furniture in. It's not going to remind you of a torture chamber anymore.
Yeah, that's it's a good topic, Paul. I'm not quite sure. Hopefully I'd never have to deal with that, but I'm not really sure.
I love the fact.
That's my two cents.
Here's my favorite part of the story. We're all going to disagree on this one, or I'm going to disagree with all of you. Let me put it that way. I'm going to be in the minority, which means, again, supply and demand. If there's a supply and not enough people demanding, I'm going to get that house cheap. Not that I'm buying this particular house, but I would have no problem doing it. I have not talked to my wife about this. She may feel differently, and I can understand that. But here's the weird part of it. The woman who owns the house is Maury Travis's mother.
I saw that.
And Maury Travis was the serial killer. And so she's renting this house out to this woman, Katrina McGaw. And Katrina McGaw had to go to the St. Louis Housing Authority because mom wouldn't let her out of the lease. And so they finally worked something out, and she is going to be moving out at the end of the month.
Is she related to McGaw Millhaven?
Yes, she is.
Oh, wow.
They're getting married. She'll be Katrina McGaw Millhaven.
Katrina McGaw McGaw.
But here's the part of the story that I think is a little bit over the top. Mom still had the dining room table that we saw in some of the crime scene photos.
Oh, I'd get rid of that.
Still, yeah. But okay. But if you get rid of that, like I said, if you're renting the house and you move your own furniture in there and you paint and you turn it into your own, you're erasing whatever was there in the past. We can go to the phones. 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS, cell phones, star KTRS. Mike, you're on the big 550. Hello.
Hey, hi there.
Hi.
Good you took my call. Hey, what bothers me about this is she's in there with Section 8 housing. I mean, she doesn't have a lot of, I don't know how much of that picks up, but it's heavily subsidized stuff.
Yeah,
that's what kills me about the whole thing. She's got no complaint.
Well, she does have a complaint.
Well, yeah.
If this bothers her, regardless of who's paying for it. I mean, Section 8 does give her a voucher that covers her rent, which is like $800 a month or something like that. But
it wouldn't bother me.
But here's the question for you, Mike: would you buy a house knowing that this was part of its history?
Probably not.
Okay, so
probably not, but I have options.
But let me ask you this.
Hey, sure, I got options.
What about the options for this woman whose son while he lived there, was a serial killer. She didn't kill anybody. She didn't hurt anybody. Now, she has a house that if the word got out and people like you and Ian and Dan and Tim were the marketplace, she would never be able to find a renter, and she could never sell that house to anybody. Is that fair?
I don't know
about that. Is that fair that she'll be stuck with a house just because
the market is what it is? She's got what she's got. There's too many rules and regulations already. If we don't need to make any more, come on, it's what it is. I mean, the market is there. Deal with it.
Yeah, I'm not saying we need more regulations in that. I'm just saying
there should be laws. You're talking about laws. No, I don't think so.
No, I'm not talking about laws. I'm just talking about the personal interest of people who are in the market.
It's just a matter of opinion.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how it hits somebody. And some people it wouldn't affect. Some people it would. Some people have options. Some don't. And therefore, they end up with housing that isn't agreeable. But
let me see if I can find somebody who's going to compete with me on the buyer side of this. Peggy, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Hi. You know, if I owned that house, I would just turn it into a museum, you know, sell tickets, make money off of it.
Ooh, that's even more ghoulish.
Whoa. Yeah, right. The haunted house.
Another level.
Yeah, hi. I'm the mother of the serial killer. Come on in. Let me show you around.
Exactly.
Let me
show you what my son did.
Let me show you what my son did. This is the poll. Oh, I don't even want to talk about what may have happened there. Would you move into the house, Peggy?
Only if I could sell tickets.
Well, maybe as the new owner there.
I wouldn't mind owning it, I guess. It wouldn't bother me. I mean, I've lived in some houses where some weird things have gone on before.
I would rather live in that house than one apartment I lived in many years ago with the weird neighbors.
Well, yeah, you can also have a house full of bugs and roaches and spiders. So
yeah,
I
agree. All right, Peggy, I'm glad you called. I got to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS, cell phones, *KTRS. By the way, I've got an update on potato salad guy who's been in the news all week long, and we have an update on the guy who was fired for buying legal weed in Washington, and I've got a story about a hamburger that put two reporters in the hospital. Mm. Now, you can't possibly tune away from the Big 550-KTRS.
Meep, meep.
Now let's go to Mr. Scaredy Cat in the traffic center.
Hey,
I'm with you, Tim. I couldn't do it either.
I couldn't do it, Tim. I was just making fun of you. Because anytime he said Scaredy Cat, so I...
Hey, on this show, you're open game, so you can do whatever you want. Hey, I just got a report. There's an accident in the 8900 block of St. Charles Rock Road. It's in front of the St. John's Police Department. They just cleared an accident on Lucas and Hunt and on the ramp to Highway 70 westbound. Other than that, we just have some heavier traffic now on westbound 40. It's running slow from the Science Center through McCausland. A little bit heavy now from the Spirit Overpass to the Boone Bridge on southbound 270. Looks like we're building volume now from Highway 40 down through Doherty Ferry. This traffic report is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Quality, knowledge, skill, value, that's Napa know-how. Stop into a Napa Auto Parts store or Napa Auto Care Center to experience some Napa know-how yourself. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
I'm Kelly Jackson. We welcome McGraw back to my show on Monday morning with great fanfare. Gail Pennington calls in from her television critics meeting in Los Angeles. David Stokes drops by the Westport Studios for his weekly segment. And McGraw catches up with the author of a new guidebook for St. Louisans. It's Kelly's Show with McGraw, Monday morning on the Big 550 KTRS.
My wife and I were carefully balancing our budget just getting by when, wham, the washing machine died. Then, wham, again, the freezer had a meltdown.
It's hard enough paying for a home these days. And for many families, it only takes one broken appliance to break the bank. Just to repair a refrigerator, hundreds of dollars. Hundreds for plumbing. Replace an air conditioner? That can cost thousands. No wonder more and more American households are taking advantage of American Home Shield's Home Protection Plan. We help protect your wallet against unexpected covered appliance or system repairs, including your air conditioner, water heater, plumbing, refrigerator, washer, and much more. For valuable free information, call 1-800-500-6002. Service requests are subject to a service fee for each trade called. Some exclusions and limitations apply. Let's face it, systems and appliances around our homes do break down. So help protect your wallet with our Home Protection Plan. For valuable free information, including terms, rates, and coverage, call 1-800-500-6002. That's 1-800-500-6002.
Have you been thinking about creating your dream kitchen, bath, or addition? Call Home Solutions today and have their design team guide you towards an affordable solution to give you what you have been dreaming about for years. Take advantage of free granite or onyx while supplies last with new cabinetry for your kitchen or bath remodel. They feature a large selection of the most popular colors and styles of granite countertops while supplies last. Your new kitchen or bath will be designed to the last detail using their state-of-the-art 3D imagery so you can see everything before you order anything. Home Solutions design team is very professional and they offer free designs and free estimates. Being fully accredited with the Better Business Bureau means you can trust your project with Home Solutions. Call Home Solutions today for your free design and estimate at 314-821-4949 or click homesolutionsstl.com or visit their design center on Manchester Road in De Pere, just 1/2 mile east of 270. Call today and ask how you can get free countertops for your kitchen or bath. 314-821-4949.
Hey, listen up. If you're one of those people out there who has a mortgage with a balance of $200,000 or more and an interest rate of 4.5% or more, you can literally save thousands of dollars if you act now. The situation in Ukraine temporarily has credit rates diving, and you could take advantage of this through Stewart's American Mortgage Corp. And the best part is, no cost to you. All the paperwork, including the appraisal, will be at no cost. All you have to do is call Stewart at Stewart's American Mortgage. He'll take care of everything. Again, it's a temporary situation that can change at any time, totally dependent on the Ukraine situation. But it's a chance for you, the mortgage holder, to save thousands of dollars at no cost. You must act now. Stewart's American Mortgage. On the internet, STUARTSAMC.com or call 314-324-4440. That's 314-324-4440.
American Mortgage Corporation, number 226715. NMLS, number 2675679.
The most important purchase you make is a home, and the most important person you need to talk to and hire is a real estate agent. The best in the St. Louis metropolitan area for the last 17 years, Kathy Helbig of the Kathy Helbig Group. How's the market?
The market is hot, McGraw. It is not just a buyer's market anymore. It is a perfect storm for buyers and sellers.
So because that's going on, what does that mean for the homeowner or the home seller?
Home prices have raised almost 8% in the last year, but interest rates are still historically low. So it's a great time to buy and sell.
Many people think they can do this themselves.
They think they can. There's so much more than just putting a sign in the yard. So call us. We'll stay your home, we'll give you an evaluation, and we'll give you the up-to-date market analysis as well as the 500 other things that go on with selling real estate.
That's 17-year full-time producer, realtor, Kathy Helbig of the Kathy Helbig Group. She's a real estate expert, and she's on KSDK Channel 5, and she's here with us on the Big 550 KTRS, 314-726-SOLD, or KathyHelbigGroup.com.
Right now at the Home Depot, get a 10-year sealed battery smoke and carbon monoxide alarm start at just $24.97. So, let's worry less. Let's do smarter fire safety. Alarms that won't turn off and batteries that won't chirp for 10 long years. Let's do this. Get a worry-free alarms starting at just $24.97. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
He's back.
Don't miss the Dennis George Show. Well, wait a minute, that's me, live and local, with all the happenings in and around St. Louis.
The Dennis George Show, Sundays from 9 till 11 p.m. on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Golden Earring.
I like that. I've always liked this song.
I used to like the song when I was a rock DJ.
Oh,
because
yeah.
It's 8 minutes long.
Oh, that was a good pooping song.
Ladies and gentlemen, I had burritos for lunch. Yeah. Here is Golden Earring.
Yeah. Or here's American Pie.
It's 2 a.m. It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I'm Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me. Later on, Bill Cleveland, Mike Evans, Colin Jeffrey will do a review of the new Dawn of the Planet of the Apes movie that's coming out today. And I've got Knuckleheads in the News and the Harris Challenge. Update on Potato Salad Guy. Zach Brown, I know you've heard this story all week long. He started out a week ago on Kickstarter, wanted to raise $10 so he could make potato salad. He did it as a joke. Within 30 seconds, he had $100. Within an hour, he had $1,000. By the end of the first day, he had $10,000. At one point, by the fifth day yesterday, it was up to $72,000. And on Kickstarter, when you're doing a fundraising thing, you have to offer... not prizes, but what are they
benefits.
Called?
Benefits. Benefits, rewards. Something for what you donate, you get something.
Some sort of reward of some kind. And so the more he got, the more he started promising. There were going to be T-shirts early on. And then I think when he got to $15,000 or $20,000 or $30,000, he said, I'm going to throw a party, and the whole Internet's going to be invited to eat potato salad. And then something weird happened yesterday afternoon. He had over 5,400 backers. People giving just a dollar or more. He was up to $72,000. I checked it today. It's down to $45,000.
Yeah, I saw it went backwards, too.
Why would it go backwards? Well, apparently, he overpromised and started doing, like, little commercial endorsements. He put up a picture of a potato salad he had recently eaten at a restaurant in his hometown, including links to that restaurant. And the people who were donating to this were doing it to be part of an internet joke and got upset that now there was advertising involved. He also plugged a local photo studio that allegedly helped him with the photo, even though it's obvious it was a picture taken with his cell phone. So that plug counted in their minds as advertising, and they got upset. One story I read today said reactions to the plugs were swift and harsh. People started taking their money back, withdrawing their donations. He lost more than $23,000 in one day.
Oh, so I didn't know you could do that. You can withdraw.
I didn't either. There were also questions about what he was going to do with the money. I didn't know this. Kickstarter prohibits you from giving the money to charity. So if you start up a Kickstarter campaign, the money that you get, you've actually got to use it for whatever project it was. Which is good because, you know, people, musicians use it to raise money. I'm working on a new album. We don't really have enough money to do it ourselves. Will you help out for $10? You'll get a copy of the album, whatever it is. And then if they get enough money and they go and they record it, okay, that's what they use it for. Or if you're making a movie, or I don't know, what other stuff the people put on there? All fashion things, all sorts of stuff. But you cannot give the money to charity because these people have donated the money for whatever your enterprise is going to be. So now there's the question about what's he actually going to do. And then I read on Time Magazine's website that Kickstarter revenue is taxable income.
Oops.
If the donations had stopped at $72,000, this guy would have owed $21,000 next April.
Oh.
I mean, he could deduct whatever his expenses were if he did throw a huge party. At one point, he teamed up with a radio station in whatever town he's in, and they were going to put a big concert on at which they would have people eating his potato salad. And he appeared on Good Morning America and actually asked the people who were watching, tell me how we can take this moment and this campaign and this money to the next level and do the most good with it. And then people said, wait a second, you're not supposed to be doing good. You're supposed to be making potato salad. This is not a charity or benefit project. And so this whole thing that started as a joke to raise 10 bucks, ha, 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 has really
a big headache.
Gotten it out of control and turned into a big headache for the guy. If I were him, I would cancel and say, I'm never eating potato salad. Because nobody's actually given him money yet. They've just pledged money. Isn't that how Kickstarter works?
I don't know. I have no idea how that works. I'm in the dark about a lot of it.
Have you ever?
No.
I actually donated $75 on Kickstarter to some people who were making a documentary movie about James Randi, the amazing Randi, who I've talked about often, one of my heroes. And they actually did make the movie. It's called An Honest Liar, and it's been shown at some film festivals. Hasn't come to theaters yet. And as a person who donated $75, I'm eventually supposed to get a DVD copy of the movie. But they haven't done that yet because it's not at the distribution level. They can show it at festivals and that sort of stuff, but they can't put it at like a Werenberg theater and say it's open for the next week and then send me my DVD.
How long did it take your account to take the money out of your account?
That's what I was going to say. I don't remember how the money was transferred. I don't think I gave him a credit card. Maybe it was through PayPal or one of those other online payment things. Yeah. So I wonder about if people did that for this Zach Brown and his potato salad thing. Does he...
Colin says it's only after the goal is reached that I guess your money goes.
Oh, that's it. So you're pledging up until that point.
Right, because there are some that don't reach their goal and all the money just goes back to the... Like, the, you know, you have to set a timeline, like within a month.
And this guy, by the way, has 3 weeks to go on the potato salad project. He put him on there for a month. It just started a week ago. So he still has 22 days. Who knows what will happen now?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be funny if all their people heard about this and got upset and it went 72,000, 60,000, 50,000, 40,000, 30, and he ends up with 10 bucks?
That was his goal, right? $10?
That's all he wanted was $10. And then he announces, you know what, Internet? I'm going to make potato salad with this, and I'm going to eat it. F you. That's the whole thing. Tom, you're on the Big 550 KTRS. Hello. Tom, are you there? And now playing the part of Tom is his understudy, and I'm sure we'll do a fine job. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I was going to ask for help to make coleslaw, but after the update,
I don't think you want to.
I don't think I want any part
And besides,
of it.
We don't have that kind of cabbage.
Hey!
No! And Frank's not even here. Can you believe it?
Yeah, okay.
That was it.
On the torture house, obviously you're not a superstitious person.
Oh, no. I don't believe in any of that nonsense.
Okay, but you're Jewish, are you not?
I was raised Jewish, yes.
You were raised Jewish. What do Jewish people believe?
I don't know.
Like after death?
I'm going to stop you right now. I don't know. I'm not religious in any way. I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay. I'm just curious, but as far as the torture house, I don't know. I'm leaning toward I don't want any part of it.
You're superstitious. You would feel freaked out. But here's the question that I asked, and I'm still curious about it. Is there any amount of time that can go by that would make you say, well, that was so long ago? I mean, what it was during the Civil War, slaves were kept there and captured and killed in the basement. Okay, that was 1865 or 4 when that happened. Now it's 2014. It's 150 years later. People have been living in that house. Would you live there?
You know what? I think just to cover all the bases, I'd get a rabbi, a priest, a llama, and a minister.
You're going
to
do an exorcism?
No, and just have them bless the whole place, man.
What do you know with the llama?
Dalai Lama.
The Dalai Lama, not one that would spit in your eye. Different one.
All right. Thanks a lot, Paul. Enjoy it.
I'm glad you called, Rick. Thank you. I also promised you an update on this guy who was busted on Tuesday in Washington State for being the first person in line to buy legal weed. You know, Washington has now followed Colorado into the legal marijuana business. They don't have a tremendous amount of pot in that state. In fact, some of the places that were selling it sold out on the first day and don't expect a delivery again until August, because there are only 80 people who are licensed to grow it in the state right now. They had applications from 4,600, and they okayed 80, and there aren't enough in the state. But this guy, Mike Boyer, slept out on Monday night, camped out so that he would be the first in line, like it's for an iPhone or tickets to, you know, Harry Potter 8 or something like that. He camped out all night, and he was the first one in line, first one in the entire state to legally purchase recreational marijuana. And he posted on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram pictures of himself there.
In a tie-dye shirt.
In a tie-dye shirt, bragging about how he was the first person to buy marijuana legally. Unfortunately for him, his employer, True Blue, is a staffing agency, and they saw him on TV and asked him to take a drug test, and he failed, and so they fired him. So he posted on Craigslist, along with his resume, he posted, "I lost my job due to the news coverage of me being the first person to buy marijuana legally in Spokane. I regret nothing, but now I'm jobless." Really? You regret nothing? The fame of those 15 minutes of being that guy who bought pot is more important to you than having, a paycheck? You regret nothing, Mike. Here's what you're saying to all the other employers who you now need a job from. I don't really care about your job. I don't really care.
I don't care.
That's not as much of a priority for me as, rolling some joints and staying home and getting high.
$50 a pot. I don't need a job.
I don't think it's $50.
No, it was. Yeah, I can't remember how much he bought with the grams wise, but yeah, it was $50.
$50 is today's equivalent of a nickel bag. but he says that True Blue has now changed its mind. He told Newsweek, True Blue, that's the employer, got a hold of me and offered me my job back. I'm going to accept it, and we'll see where it goes from there. The reason they said they gave me my job back was because their policy says you cannot be under the influence at work, which I was not. I officially had the day off. What I did on my time was my time. So they gave me my jobs back and even gave me a day's worth of pay that I missed. Here's my question. What's the over-under on how long Mike keeps this job, before they make him pee in a cup and it doesn't go well? I'm going to say 2 weeks.
I'm going to say 2 weeks because it's 30 days, right?
Yeah, how do you...
for 30 days.
How do you determine if he's...
If he did it on the job,
if he's at work, at work.
That's one of the things you got to remember about. I mean, the people in Colorado and Washington have to remember there are laws. Just because you can buy it legally, you can't smoke it in public. You can't even smoke it in the place where you bought it. You can't light up. Can I have a taste of that? You can't do that. You know, there's still restrictions on where and when you can do it. Take it home. Have a little party in your basement where the serial killer was. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But don't be bragging about it online. You know there's going to be a generation of people who are going to try to erase pictures from Instagram and Facebook of themselves lighting up or hitting the bong.
Yeah. Hey, Michael is in real estate, and he's leasing a home.
Excellent. Michael, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Paul Harris, hello. It's Michael Goldie. I don't know if Dan specified that or not. News reporter Michael Goldie.
Hello, former news reporter Michael Goldie.
Hello, Paul Harris. How are you guys?
You know what? We're still stuck in the business. You were smart enough to get out.
Yes.
Well, I do miss you guys, for what it's worth.
Well, thank you. And likewise. And you're in real estate now?
Yeah, and that's the reason why I called. I heard you talking about the murder house up there in North County.
Yeah.
I just recently met with an owner of a similar piece of property.
Oh.
There was a story in the news last March about a woman who was barreling down Highway 270 with a car full of fireworks going off. Do you remember that? Does that ring a bell?
Yes.
The woman, well, it didn't turn out so well. She ended up killing herself in a home in Town and Country.
Yep.
And I met with the owner of that home yesterday, and he wants to lease it out again. So.
And what did you tell him?
Well, I said, yeah, we don't have to disclose it technically. If somebody asks about it, they say, hey, was there anything that I need to know about this house? Was there any gruesome acts done in this house? Then we got to come out and say it.
Now, here's my question. How often does that come up when you're selling?
It hasn't come up since I've been in the business.
Yeah.
Which isn't very long, admittedly, but no, that's not something people normally ask.
Is that a law that you have to come out and say it? I don't think you do. That's a psychology.
No. If they ask you, you do.
Really?
Right.
Okay.
How specific?
You can't lie and say, no, nothing happened.
How specific do you have to be? I'm just asking just a general question here. Did Jim Jenkins murder three or more people in this house? I'm just asking.
There's Jenkins again.
He's a bad guy.
I asked the owner, you know, where did it happen? Because I guess just out of curiosity, it happened in the master bathroom. He had a professional restoration company, I guess like a crime, one of those like crime scene companies come in, just totally gut the place to make it look like new. Because, you know, regular house cleaners aren't going to come in and clean that up.
What was the woman who killed herself there, was she renting the house?
Yes.
So this guy's the landlord. And like I said before, how unfair would it be to him if everybody who came through there had to be told about it and was as superstitious as these guys are and said, well, I'm never going to live here.
Right.
It's not his fault.
He's got money to make. He doesn't want to sit on the house. It's not his fault that the, you know, woman lived there previously, did that, so why should he be punished?
You want to give the address if people want it? No, don't do that.
No,
we don't need to go doing that. I think I'll rent. It's a nice piece of property, aside from the gruesome details inside. But
do you think you have to reduce the price to entice people to come in there like me?
No, I don't think we'll need to. It's in a really nice area. It's in a quiet neighborhood, good school district, so I don't think we'll have any problem renting it out.
Now, let me ask the guys who are queasy about this. She killed herself in the house.
Yes.
Would you rent that house or live there?
Would I personally?
No, I'm asking Dan and Ian.
Oh.
I mean, it's one thing to have a guy who is a serial killer who killed 17 people in the basement. How about a woman who killed herself in the bathroom of a house that she's renting?
And they completely gutted the bathroom?
Yeah, I think I would be better with that.
Rebuilt it?
Yep. Bathroom's completely redone. You can't, you know, looks brand new.
Yeah, maybe.
Except every time you flush the toilet, the red comes up. But it's not a problem.
Yeah,
it's just a different kind. It's an option.
It's like that scene from The Shining.
Exactly.
In the elevators.
Yeah, and every night when you go to sleep, there's a voice in the fan in the bathroom. Yeah. Red rum. But otherwise, it's a beautiful house.
Make it dark.
Contact Michael Goldie Realtor if you'd like to rent it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, Michael. I appreciate it.
All right, talk to you later.
357 at the Big 550 KTRS. Here's something even scarier. Your traffic.
Oh. Jim Weiland.
What was that?
Yeah, but after sitting here and listening to Paul, I realize you're really kind of sick, Paul.
Yeah,
because
thank you.
You're saying you flush the toilet, the red comes up, and I don't know if anybody else ever caught that. You were talking about the pot story, and you go, what's the big deal? You go and you buy some pot, you go downstairs where the serial killer was, and have a little party.
Well, you don't care. If
I thought
you're,
I was
if you're
a little
stoned,
on the
then you really don't care.
He has good brain blockage. You can just block all that out.
But you know what? I'm just going to say this to any of the kids listening in who do get the legal weed and want to do exactly that. Weed makes you paranoid. Maybe that basement in the killer house is not the place to have your party.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, go ahead.
Hey, they've sent more equipment, they've sent more emergency equipment out to that accident on St. Charles Rock Road. It's in front of St. John's Police Department. Now, we do have some slow traffic now on southbound 270. It stems from Olive down through Doherty Ferry. Eastbound 40 downtown, slowing at Jefferson. You've got a new accident now here in Illinois. It's on northbound Route 3 at 8th Street. The left lane was blocked, and anybody coming out of 8th Street, you cannot go south on Route 3. Now, if you're traveling west on 40, Hampton through McCausland, you're slow again from 270 through Mason, and then heavy from a little west of Long Road to the Boone Bridge. Eastbound 270 slowing at McDonnell. This traffic report is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Quality, knowledge, skill, value, that's Napa know-how. Stop into a Napa Auto Parts store or Napa Auto Care Center to experience some Napa know-how yourself. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland of the Big 550 KTRS.
Hadley, Cure, the SEC. All next week, The Big Sports Show will bring you reports from the SEC gathering in Birmingham. The Big Sports Show. The Big Sports Show. Weeknights from 6:30 till 9 on the Big 550 KTRS. We are Mizzou.
You need a website. Why not do it yourself? You know your business. With Wix.com, you can create a professional website all by yourself. It's easy and free. With Wix.com, you don't need to be a programmer. Just use the intuitive drag-and-drop website builder. There's no limit to how creative you can be. It's your website, your style. Show the world what you can do. Create your own stunning website today. Go to Wix.com. It's easy and free.
I'm Larry Connors. You know, for almost 40 years, I've been in St. Louis, building credibility and trust. Of course, no one just gives you trust. You have to earn it every day. That's what John Beale's family has done for 65 years. A roofing company doesn't stay around long unless it does the customers right. So I'm proud to represent the John Beale family. And when you need help with your roof, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is the Big 550 KTRS St. Louis, Baldwin, Arnold, Town and Country, and the World.
Streaming live at KTRS.com.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin